We've got another edition of our Road to Revenue series, and today's episode is about networking on social media. And we cover the difference between social media and social networking with all the tips and trade of how to build your business. Tweet me at David Meltzer your favorite takeaway from today's episode, and check my show notes for my email and text number to find out where you can contact me at any time. This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook. All righty. Hey, welcome everybody to Friday Training. It's been over 20 years doing these free trainings every Friday. If you miss any part of it, you can always download the playbook and like it and share it. We're all good. Today's training is on networking, especially social media networking, including Clubhouse. Thank you very much for showing the sizzle. The commercial for 2 Minute Drill airs on Bloomberg as well as Amazon. If you haven't checked out 2 Minute Drill, you really should. Let's talk about, and anybody put your questions in, of course, as well. We will have questions afterwards for everybody. We'll be doing some Q&A after this, also available on IG and on Clubhouse. Networking. How do we network with social media? It's interesting because it's different. You know, I always talk about credibility and emotional attachment, and it's very difficult to have credibility in social media, and it's even more difficult to make an emotional connection. It's easy to articulate quantitative value to exceed that what you're asking for and to ask. But the first key is to understand the platform that you're on. And remember, the objective of the platform when we're networking is to ask two things. Do you know anyone that can help me? And how can I be of service? And we want to practice the series of questions that is needed in order to facilitate. Do you know anyone that can help me? Right? Everyone's a sponsor and a power sponsor, but also how I can be of service or value, elevating our credibility and allowing ourselves to have emotional attachment. But social media is different than in person, where we can react. A lot of times in social media, there is a one-sided transaction. You're watching a video, a quote, a comment. All of these different things are non-reactive. And what we want to realize is a difference between social media and social networking. Social media, for example, is a platform for amplifying your content. It's amplifying your information. It's amplifying your ask. It's amplifying the series of questions. It's amplifying the action and the attraction. Social media is a platform for amplifying. Social networking is a platform for connecting with one another, both with credibility and emotional attachment, allowing you to articulate the quantitative value that you can help with or ask for. So I think it's really important to distinguish between social media, the platform that is utilized to amplify, and social networking, which is a platform for connecting with one another. And when we realize the difference between social media and social networking, we can realize the importance of the bridge that the stage theory provides for people. The stage theory is saying, I'm going to capture as much of my essence that I can. I'm going to capture as much of my frequency as I can. I'm going to capture as much of the real me that I can. And then I'm going to modify it to either align and amplify on social media or align and amplify on the platform of providing service or value or asking for help. In other words, for connecting with one another with credibility and emotional attachment. None of it's going to happen in person, on the phone, via email or social media or traditional media, unless you capture what you're doing. And there's all types of ways to capture. We can capture it with a quote, a picture, a video, in writing. We can transcribe, modify. All of it needs to be captured before we can modify it, in particular for social media or social networking, amplify it via social media. And then the misnomer of all networking to me is the perpetual nature of how we are capable of networking when we're not there anymore. One of the huge advantages of both social media and social networking is it's perpetual. So we have now allowed ourselves to binge our relationship, binge our connectivity, binge the data and the information, the credibility and the emotional attachment. So when we're laying down the capture, modifying it and amplifying it, it may not be seen for 10 weeks from now, 10 years from now. But we need to keep that in mind, because our ultimate objective of networking via social media is to build a community. Because of the perpetual nature of the media, because of the perpetual nature of the platforms, that for the first time, we can live within a legacy if we build a community that resonates with the authenticity, the frequency of our signal. And the only way that we can build that is through the stage theory: capture, modify, amplify, and perpetuate. So there's one thing that we need to do when we're networking, beyond when it's in person or on the phone or via even email. In social media, it's most important for you to know your what. What are you networking for? And if you know your what, then you will have faster and easier communication with the network that you want, the customers, the partners, the channel partners that you want to connect with, for faster and easier access than ever before. The speed and accuracy in which we can communicate exists on those platforms unlike no other. Obviously, there's so much more expense, time, and statistical success of in person or on the phone or via email, where the mass access of faster and easier communication allows us to statistically be far more successful. Because I still say that we cannot fathom the size of the audience. I used to teach people, I said, look, you cannot fathom infinity. If your goal, if you want to pursue in life to just experience for a moment's time, an instant of a moment's time, the limitlessness and infinity that exists within time, space, and the currencies of money and faith. If you could just experience that milestone one time, you would be able to grasp how big we are and how much potential we have. There's a subset to that infinity, which is the size of this audience that is created by the two platforms, the social media platform for amplifying and the social networking platform for connecting. And we cannot fathom the size, scope, and scale of that. And if we pursue that, we will benefit greatly because of the efficiency and effectiveness of the statistics of being able to, for example, reach 179 million people by doing a TV show on social media in the social networking capacity. And the availability, the accessibility of the networking and partnerships that are available are unfathomable. And the ability to boost it organically and to make it visible organically is unfathomable. And the ability to increase traffic, either paid or unpaid, to me still is unfathomable. Can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine what 4.6 billion people availability means in truth, what that really means with the lowest point of entry? There's things that reach over a billion people without spending a dime. And so understanding the traffic, understanding the nature of infinity, understanding that we just want to experience our potential for an instant, for a milestone, for us to continually pursue or to go past, to not limit ourselves. Feedback is another one. You know, think about the value in social media and networking as you amplify and perpetuate and connect to feedback. The rate of return of feedback is exponential to ever before. And it's important when you're networking via social media and social networking that you realize the customer feedback has changed in its nature, size, scope, and scale, both for the positive and the negative. And continuing into the idea of the negative, we have to be careful that we're not in a vacuum of customer feedback. Right? There's a book that was written by Steve Hertz called Don't Take Yes for an Answer. Part of the difficulty of social media and social networking and networking in the context of those two platforms is that we can get caught into a vacuum of yes, meaning we have now surrounded ourselves because of the size, scope, and scale of these platforms into a large audience of people that only say yes to us and only feed us what we want to hear and control and concisely provide us exactly what we like all the time instead of challenging us and creating a resistance to lessons that we need to learn in order to expand, accelerate, and grow. And it not only is in the feedback, but it's also in the impression of potential customers. If we're stuck into a vacuum of yes men and yes women, if we're stuck into a vacuum of a comfort zone, we are not going to be able to impress upon potential customers, expand, grow, accelerate, utilize the philosophy of compound interest in order to see that hockey stick that we hope to create by thriving within the context of social media, social networking, utilizing the two platforms to amplify and connect. And how does that all come together in knowing your what? It's actually, you know, in old traditional terms, knowing your brand. I call it finding your frequency, but in the old school realm, it's knowing your brand. And that brand is your capability to strengthen what you're trying to say, what value you're trying to convey, and what you actually, your product, service, or solution is, and be able to carry that not just through you, but through others, to others, and through them to even more. In other words, exponentially growing, accelerating. The other capability that the social media platform has to amplify and the social networking platform has to connect is the data, the ability to track your success, track your challenges, track your competition, track all different demographics and spectrum, track the strength of your signal. How far did it reach? How many people? How long did they engage? Where did they engage? All of this is available. So there's a lot to understand when you know your what your frequency is, and then be able to utilize it in a much more efficient, effective, and statistically successful way in the largest audience that you can't even fathom, allowing you to network, create partnerships, channel partnerships, customer with organic visibility, increasing traffic in all respects that will give you more feedback, being aware and careful that you're not in a vacuum of yes, but allowing you to impress upon the potential of more and more customers to align with the segmentation that you're looking for in order to clarify your message for a strong, wide, and clear brand that allows you to track all types of aspects of what you're doing efficiently and effectively. After you know your what, I always say we want to know our who. And, you know, who are we connected with? Staying connected with friends is obvious within the context of social media and social networking. Staying connected with friends, being able to amplify our information to elementary, junior high, high school friends, college friends, graduate school friends, first job friends, last job friends. But we can stay connected to all the people that have hopped on and off our trolley. And we are allowed to utilize the variant chain of feeding, meaning that recollecting and reconnecting and remembering people that feed us, we can now amplify and connect to in a more rapid and accurate manner with a simple search. Staying, maintaining, and reconnecting is a huge benefit in networking. Why? Because those people who feed us are statistically more likely to know somebody else that will feed us. And we feel more comfortable with those people asking for help. I always tell people it's so much easier to ask for help when someone has an open mind than a closed mind. It takes as much energy to get help from one person with a closed mind than it does 1,000 people with an open mind. And when you know your who, it gives you a means, social media and social networking, for communicating. It allows us also to keep up to date. Keep up to date on the information, keep up to date on the news, on the ability to be more interested than interesting. Keeping up to date is a very important aspect of networking, not just in social media and social networking, but in person on the phone and email. So if we're just utilizing those platforms in which to stay up to date and then effectuating or executing it in a traditional manner in person on the phone or via email, we're still going to have a greater statistical success. We're still building a community, allowing ourselves to create efficiencies, effectiveness with that statistical success by having access to the news, the information, allowing us to care for and celebrate others, to elevate others, to cheer for others, to make them feel a certain way, because people will remember how you made them feel. And utilizing social media and social networking, both of those platforms, allows you to influence the way someone feels and make a deeper connection that allows you to network and receive more feedings, more help. It also allows you to achieve a more personal connection when you're more interested than interesting and have the up-to-date data in order to effectuate and to support what you're trying to do. Why? Simply because we can make an emotional connection when we know what people like and don't like. And not only can we make a deeper, more a constructive connection through that emotional aspect of knowing what people like and don't like, but we also can make new friends with similar likes and utilize the laws of attraction, because likes attract likes. And as we surround ourselves with more of the people that like the same things and that are passionate about the same things, they're more open-minded in order to what? Help us to effectuate utilizing these extraordinary platforms with unfathomable reach of social media, the platform for amplifying, and social network, the platform for connecting. And it allows us to stay consistent and persistent to network. I always say network, network, network. Meaning if it's not the forefront of your mind of asking people what you want and who has it, and if they know anyone that has it and how you could be of service. Just to template it out, social media allows you to work within the traditional sense of saying, number one, what are you doing today? Now I don't have to ask. Right? Because of the amplifying nature of social media, I know what people are doing today. And then I'm also capable of seeing what they like and what they don't like. I'm leap years ahead of old traditional sales training, where I would teach people to ask open-ended questions to find out what people are doing today, and then ask more closed-ended questions to figure out what they don't like or what they do like or what they like about that, to figure out how I can be of service or value or provide value to that person, but also explore how they can help me. All of that is compressed via these two platforms of social media and social network. It now becomes way more efficient, effective, and statistically successful. It's a much larger audience, one that's unfathomable, in my opinion, that allows us to be an extraordinary success at an exponential rate of both speed and quantity. Some of the aspects of the two platforms are free advertising. You know, very rarely can we find such a powerful tool that has such a low barrier of entry, free, and such a low barrier of distribution, free. The weight of an idea carries itself. That's why I talk about the strength of your signal, understanding the spectrum of it and the clarity of the message. Because why? The truth vibrates the fastest. And if you pursue the truth, your authentic self, your organic self, your credible self, your emotional self, your illuminating self, your message will carry farther and it will be stronger. And if you do it consistently, you'll break through the conscious continuum that says the human mind, its senses are stupid. We don't see things, hear things, smell things, taste things, or touch things in a very accurate way. It takes multiple repetitions in order for that short-term memory to capture it and move it over to our subconscious mind, where disciplines are created, habits are created, where neural pathways are created. So it's stored within our subconscious. 40,000 of the same thoughts that we can access in a much more efficient, effective, and statistically successful way, which what? Our subconscious talks to our unconscious, which creates an actual frequency that attracts. But none of that happens without the law of Goya, of getting off our ass and making it happen and being consistent and persistent. Because in the end, the definition of genius is the expression through us. Your genius is your capability of expressing what comes through you to others. And the less interference that we have, whether it be in your health, your wealth, your worthiness, whatever it may be, we already have that. We already are that. We need to figure out what's creating the interference to that so that we can create an expression that is close to the truth, to our potential, that vibrates the fastest, that has the strongest signal, the widest spectrum, and the clearest message. The three components that fit within the context of social media as a platform to amplify that, so it goes farther to more people, and social networking, which is the platform that not only does it go farther and reach more people, but it actually makes them feel a certain way, which allows them to connect to you with credibility, emotional attachment, giving you the opportunity from the way you've captured yourself, modified yourself, amplified yourself, and even perpetuated yourself to clearly communicate who you are, closest to your truth, to help empower others, to empower others. After you know your what and your who, now we go to the how. And let me break down the how of social media and social networking. Social networking occurs in places like Facebook and LinkedIn and Google. And then you have a facilitating way of social media, like microblogging, Twitter, Tumblr. You have photo sharing, right? Instagram, Snapchat, Pinterest, video sharing, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, Vimeo. And then you have to add in the phone, text, and email. And through all of this, how we network on social media, we need to know the formats, the audiences, the vibration or frequency of each of these different things, from, you know, the social networking, microblogging, photo, video sharing, phone, text, email. They all are different. You need to know your how within the context. And I think that's where Clubhouse is so exciting to me, because the how of Clubhouse is this great amalgamation of old school networking, masterminding, speaking, and the new school amplification of social media. So that's old school networking, where we are just conversing with no videos, no photos, only voice, sharing ideas, exposing ourselves for the truth. More people are becoming exposed on Clubhouse for not knowing what they don't know, because they can't stand in front of planes, cars, and houses they don't own. And they get old that they are a one trick pony, and they keep just saying the exact same thing again and again and again. Where a traditionalist that may have been doing this 20 or 25 years and have a creative expressions that come through them, not for them or to them, have a huge advantage of networking on Clubhouse, because the truth vibrates the fastest. And it's utilizing an old school medium of voice in order to effectuate the large audience and amplification ability of social media in a social networking context with traditional communication. If you know your what, your who, and your how, now you just got to know your wow, your now, which will wow you. What systems do you have in place? Are you using everything personally? Do you use Teams or bots? Do you have templates that allow you to be efficient in returning and staying engaged and having that connectivity, this emotional connection? Can you answer in a cryptic nature? Do you hold yourself and limit time that you spend with each of the people? Do you have funnels, organic, authentic, or automatic funnels? But most importantly, under now is consistency. The biggest diminishing factor in social media, the platform that amplifies, and social networking, the platform that allows us to connect, is the consistency. People aren't consistent. If you're there every Friday on Clubhouse, the Breakfast of Champions at 6 a.m. Pacific time. If you're there every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time with your trainings, if you're there with the replays every Monday, if you're there at this time, 8 a.m. Instagram Live or Sundays with your mile, what if you are consistent, that messaging will grow upon itself. You will not only amplify, but you will exponentially amplify. When you're not consistent, it has a zeroing effect. Why? Simply because of the conscious continuum, that the human mind and senses are weak. And so that unless you're telling them what you want them to hear and learn, and then repeating it, and then repeating it again and telling them what they did hear and learn, you're not going to get through into that subconscious database. And you're definitely not going to touch the personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions to empower others and to inspire others to be connected to them. And when you realize what your what is with social media networking, who your who is in social media networking, know your how, and your now, that is when the why comes, your true self. Finding your own frequency, knowing the strength of your signal, the spectrum, and the clarity of your message. Enjoy all the different platforms. Find which ones are aligned with, synergistic, or supplementary to your capabilities. And enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential, whether it be on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google, Twitter, Tumblr, Snapchat, Pinterest, Ingram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook Live, Periscope, Vimeo, or even Clubhouse. The truth will vibrate the fastest. Create the groups, surround yourself with the right people and the right ideas. Make sure that you represent yourself for who you are and illuminate who you are, your strength and your weakness. And most importantly, before we get to Q&A, Ask two series of questions: how you can be of service or value. And as I mentioned, social media platforms and social networking platforms allow you to know what people are doing today and what they like and they don't like. So you can easily ask how you can be of service or value aligned with that. But more importantly, ask for help. Display the radical humility that you are connected to everyone and everything, that you live with faith that in a world of more than enough of everything for everyone. Let's all come together. Let's utilize all the positive aspects of social media, the platform for amplifying you, and of course, social networking, the platform for connecting all of us more rapidly and accurately. Thank you, everyone. Let's jump on some Q&A. We'll get this going real quick. Also available IG Live, Clubhouse. Geez, we got a lot of questions here. We'll get them going. First one: I'm making new connections on LinkedIn. Getting new context to reply with that follow-up is difficult. What can I do to stimulate more communication once I've been accepted to connect? Well, you know, being more interested than interesting and letting somebody know that you're aligned with what they like or don't like will open up the mind. And as we mentioned before, you can share or convince or influence 1,000 open minds in as much time as it takes to re-engineer a closed mind. So we want to be consistent in our contact, touching in on the credibility and emotional attachment of what they like and don't like by utilizing social media to find out what those data points are and you utilize them. For example, if I know somebody is a fan of a certain team, I may communicate about that certain team in a joking manner in order to make an emotional connection and then figure out how I could be of service or value by asking even more what they like and don't like. What a great way, if you can make the new connection, be consistent in the follow-up and be more interested than interesting, and you'll have great statistical success. All right, our first person on Clubhouse is Mallory McFall. Mallory, you have a question for me?
Hey, David, thanks for taking my question. Yes, I was wanting to know what else I can do to help prepare myself for a successful career. I currently work in corporate America. I'm only 25 years old, but really right now what I'm doing, I'm just trying to network within the current company I'm employed at and other industries that I'm also interested in and just soaking up as much information as I can from those individuals. And I really just want to know what else I can do besides networking and learning my industry to help prepare myself for.
Sure. What you want to do, Mallory, is network your capabilities. What do I mean by that? If we're younger and looking to grow our careers, our industry, our interest, see what options are out there, it's important that we grow and understand and take inventory of our capabilities. So what I suggest young people do, especially even old people, but most importantly, young people, let's look at the skills that I have, that I want to have or I need in order to effectuate getting to where I want to go. And I learned that by networking with people that are already there. I network with them by asking them those questions. Do you know anyone that can help me get to where you are? And finding out what skills it takes and deciphering within those skills, how I can develop those as quickly and as accurately as possible. I also do the same thing with knowledge. What knowledge do I have, need, or want? How is it synergistic or supplementary to where I want to be? Who has that knowledge and how can I find it? Or who do I know that already has it that can help me with that knowledge in order to effectuate more efficiency and statistical success in finding out what options exist that are aligned or synergistic or supplementary to what I want to do? And then finally, desire. A lot of people don't take inventory of their desire every day so that they can learn to love what they do and to understand that there's lessons that come. And I'm always looking for somebody that knows or is where I want to be, or knows someone that is where I want to be, so I can ask them how they got there. The easiest way to get to where you want to go is to ask directions from someone that's already there. And part of those directions is understanding, hey, what skills does it take? What knowledge does it take to get there? You know, it's the same way as if you're going to a city, you might want to ask them, is it planes, trains, or automobiles? How long is it going to take? What should I do? How do I buy the tickets? Should I insure the ticket? Whatever it may be, we need to do an inventory of ourself and then find those people that sit in the situation to teach us about our skills, our knowledge, and our desire. Does that sound fair, Mallory? Thank you so much. Amazing. All right, I'm gonna take a quick question. Leslie, come on up. Leslie Ashley, ask me the next question as I get her up here. What's the biggest mistake people make when networking? They don't ask. They literally are afraid to ask for help. Networking is literally about three things. One, are you capable of communicating credibility? Two, can you make an emotional attachment? And three, are you asking enough and big enough? Some people just out ask everyone else and they literally cannot and don't have credibility and they don't make an emotional connection other than create resistance because they ask so much. All right, perfect. Leslie, what question do you have for me?
Okay. You talk a lot about the practice of ending fear, and that's really important. It's been really informative, I guess, for me. How do you personally determine or gauge the healthy amount of fear versus what's going to be or could be a bad decision? I mean, I know we can't end bad decisions, but.
So look, fear is not going to help you make a good decision. So for me, fear is omnipresent and I want to spend minutes and moments in fear. I look more to understanding what I'm afraid of and why, and then try to reduce or dissipate or dissolve the interference that's created by that fear so that I can figure out the pain that I'm experiencing, the indicator that I have a lesson to learn and get to that lesson faster. We are going to make mistakes, but if we learn from those mistakes, is it really a mistake? And so I think getting into the practice of ending fear by understanding, one, identify what you're afraid of, two, ask yourself why, and then create no resistance to that by not trying to resist it or go over it, under it, or through it, but simply get to a place of center where you can do the best analysis to grow the most from the lesson that you're going to learn. I always say this, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. you utilize the methodology of practicing ending fear to angle to what you want, knowing that pain isn't going to stop you. It's just a turn signal. It's telling you that here's a lesson you need to learn in order to get to a better place or a better situation. But you can't believe that unless you have the final component, which is faith. And I carry a faith that I'm supposed to learn these things in order to get to somewhere better, not punished by the pain or punished by the lesson. I'm utilizing pain and lessons to get to somewhere better, not to be punished and to diminish my capacity, my inspiration, my motivation, and my connection to inspiration and connection to others who I am capable of empowering to inspire as well. So that's my philosophy on the lessons that are inherent within the practice of ending fear. But fear can only motivate you, get you up, get you back up, get you started, get you back started. It's not going to inspire you. If you're in the practice of ending fear, you can use the fear to get up, but the inspiration to get you there. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, that's so good. When you said a mistake isn't a mistake, if you learn something from it, then that's just that alone right there.
Right on. Well, I've made plenty of mistakes and I've learned plenty of lessons. So I'm the king of dummy tax. In fact, I think a lot of people love the clubhouse because I can't pay your state or federal tax, but I can pay your dummy tax. And I've paid a lot of it. Donna, why don't you come up? Donna Sirianni, let me take another question reading off and then I'll have Donna's question. This is from IG. I was laid off a year ago. How to break into the job market? Once again, this goes back to capabilities. Do an inventory of your capabilities, your skills, your knowledge of what and who, and your desire, and then see how it's synergistic and supplementary aligned with what industries, careers, and jobs and people are doing well today. See how it's synergistic, supplementary, or aligned with what's stable today. And also, you may want to take a lottery ticket if you're in that position and taking inventory of your timing and risk tolerance. See what's synergistic or supplementary to your capabilities that may be doing well or will do well in the future. And if you don't know where to find those, ask for help, ask for experts in those careers, industries, and jobs and people, or go to the stock market, see what stocks have been doing extremely well right now and see what careers, industries, and jobs are available within the context of that information, or see what's stable. See what stocks haven't moved for the last year or two and go ahead and see where your capabilities are synergistic or supplementary to the industry's careers or jobs or people within the context of that. Or do a little bit more research and see what you think will do well and do the exact same thing. If you take inventory of your capabilities, skills, knowledge, and desire, align them with one of these three aspects, you then will get clarity, balance, and focus and be able to ask for help because you'll be able to find someone that's in the situation that you want to be in, whether it be the industry, the job, the career, or the people that you want to surround yourself for your new job or career. Okay. Thank you, by the way, for that question. Next up, we have Donna. Donna, what do you got for me?
Hey, Donna. Hey, David.
That sounds like a song. Hey, Donna.
How are you doing, Jake and David? So, David, thank you for bringing me up. I wanted to give you a quick story on how your advice has totally helped my life. So I do seminars on personal development, interactive for business professionals, right? And entrepreneurs. So I started doing that last year publicly. I was doing it for companies. And then COVID cut it off because you couldn't do anything live, right? So I pivoted into working with one-on-one, working with CEOs that are one-on-one. So this particular CEO, I was working with him, and he's a very well-known businessman on Long Island. And I heard your voice. I said, you know what? I need to get to the next level. You know, besides affecting more people, I need to make more money, more connections with people, more opportunities to do a good thing. So I sat down with him and I heard your voice in the back of my head saying, you have to ask for help. So I sat him down and said, listen, if you like what I've done, and I know you like what I've done, I said, I have to ask you, you know, would you refer me 5 people? And he said, better than that, Donna? He goes, better than that, Donna? He goes, I would like to have been my whole team to work with and help bring everything to this level. So that was, and I sat there and I just thought of you, you know, and it's because I asked the question, you know, will you help me? And I had your voice in my head that it has totally changed my life. And so now I have this partner. I have a huge team. So any ideas, I've been a solo entrepreneur. So any idea that I have, they roll it out. They roll it out, marketing, like whatever it is that I need. And I am so ridiculously grateful. So I had to say thank you to you, because this is going to affect my kids, my family, and just give me the opportunity to reach and make a difference in so many more people's lives, because he has such a huge broad reach in New York. And I know that he's introducing me to his people, his network. So thank you so much. And so my question along with that is, when you go from a solopreneur doing everything yourself to now all of a sudden, it's like a Christmas gift, like here's a whole team. What is your best advice in going from taking that leap from a solopreneur to now working with this huge professional team? I just want to, you know, do a great job. Like, I'm so grateful for the opportunity, and this is just absolutely amazing. And I just want to have everything be fluid and streamlined. And so what's your best tips, advice about doing that?
Awesome. So number one, lesson taken away from your story. I love stories because they contain lesson. And my life is blessed because of two lessons that I teach that I learned before I was three. I have more people email me, text me, calling me, going on these lives with me, telling me I changed their life because of two things. One, saying thank you before they wake up and going to bed. And two, asking. So if anyone's going to have a takeaway from this story, is everyone out there, if you don't want anything complex, if you don't understand half the shit that I say because it's woo-woo or I use too big of words or I talk too fast, just take away this. Say thank you and ask, and your life will change. And this, Donna's living proof. Now, when we go from being a solopreneur into a team environment, we want to carry on our frequency. And so what I suggest you do is, once again, go around with the team and ask them what they do today, what they like about it, what they don't like about it. Figure out how you can be of service or value to the team. And then also implement that golden rule that I taught you that got you there. Ask for help. And I think if people keep that simple template of understanding, being more interested than interesting, or what people are doing today, what they like about it, what they don't like about it, where they need that help, and asking how they can be of service or value, and even more important, implementing that gratitude and ask, you will see that you will have even more exponential growth by building the network internally the same way that you were capable of doing it externally. Does that sound fair?
Sounds amazing. And if I could offer this, you know, there's so many things that we listen to, you know, on Clubhouse or YouTube or, you know, different videos. The whole idea is applying the concept. Apply it. Don't just listen to it. I mean, you have words of wisdom, people out there with all this experience. Take it and do something with it, because it will change your life. So again, thank you, David. I'm so grateful for crossing your path and getting to know you. And I'm looking forward to working with you in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing the story. I'm blessed to have you in my life. You made my day. So thank you. Next up, thank you, Donna. I'm going to bring Hala Snyder up while I take a quick question over here. What's the biggest mistake you've made on social networks? You know, for me, the biggest mistake that I've made is trying to be a pleaser. Trying to reach everyone. It's a huge mistake. You really need to find your own frequency and send it out there. And look, I would rather have people hate me for who I am than love me for who I'm not. And it was a huge lesson and a huge mistake. Look, everybody that has their opinion, whether they agree with me or disagree or understand me or don't, I reach out back and I say, hey, I'd like to learn why you think that. And I'll actually give my cell phone, which I'll give today. People are too afraid to call me, just as you heard Donna, too afraid. But, you know, my cell phone, if you need help, call me. Don't text me, because that's chicken shit. Call me, 858-688-3294. And if I don't answer, leave me a message. Go ahead, practice that superpower of leaving a message with one goal in mind to get me to call back, and I will. And I will be open to understanding and appreciating where you're at and what you need. And I will see if I can answer the call. Do I know anyone that can help you, whether it be me or somebody else? So be yourself. Don't make the mistake that I've made by trying to please everybody. And somebody's calling me right now on my cell phone. Leave me a message. I see it there ringing. I just got IG Live rolling on my cell phone as well, so I can't answer it. Okay, Hala, what do you got for me?
Hello, hello, David. Thank you so much for bringing me up here. And thank you for being you. And I've learned so much from you. And and just so motivating. Little backstory on me. I was in the hotel world for the longest time. I produced events nationwide for the last 20 years. And it was a very lucrative business for me. And I absolutely loved it. And I was a people pleaser in that sense. But I got more out of it for my own self. And I was a very good negotiator as well. And I negotiated and saved corporations millions of dollars on their contracts when they did conferences at hotels. That was my big thing. And now that COVID has hit and a lot of conferences have not happening and it's all more virtual, my business has gone down about 95%. So listening to you, I sat back and I kind of reevaluated where I was in my life, where my husband and I and my family were. And I said, okay, where do I want to be? What's my next thing? And I know I love selling and I know I love negotiating. So we have properties. And so I started pushing myself towards real estate. So getting my license, getting that started, venturing out into that world, there were so many similarities. And then diving into the stock market. So my question to you is, because I'm just now brand new diving into the stock market, what is your biggest advice of someone just starting out? Where do you look? What do you believe in?
So I believe in making money. I believe in maintaining. No, and I'm serious because, you know, for me, and this is my opinion, I'm not telling anyone what to do in the stock market. If you are more capable of making money at a higher rate of return with the emotional attention and intention that you give to the stock market, then just worry about making your money and buy some index-based annuity that has a guarantee of not losing your money in any respect, because you'll outpace the return on investment that you make in the stock market with the amount of money that you can make being productive. Albeit, if you're interested in the stock market, there's a number one rule of knowing your risk tolerance and your timing. With any investment, real estate, stocks, bonds, entrepreneurship, you know, as an angel investor, a mezz, whatever you're investing in, most people skip the most important step, which is, what is my timing and risk tolerance? And then find out, according to what stock you want to invest in or real estate you want to invest in or whatever, from someone that's done it for a long time, and ask them when they feel something is overbought or oversold. And then get into the habit of relying on expertise of others, aligned with your timing and risk tolerance, buying things that are oversold and selling things that are overbought. And if you don't have to be at the top or the bottom, but those are where the margins of millionaires are made, in the stock market, in the real estate market, in the bond market, in the investment community. Those people that understand their timing and risk tolerance and can find from other experts of multiple generations of when something's overbought or oversold, this to me is the most statistically successful way if aligned with your timing and risk tolerance. Because my timing and risk tolerance is based on, I would rather, because of who I am and the capabilities I have, pay all of my attention to making money. And as long as I don't lose my money and get a moderate return with full guarantee of my investment, I am happy as a clam. That's why I invest in index-based annuities, IULs, because I'm guaranteed 2% no matter if the stock market crashes or not. And I get a certain percentage of the upside if the market does really well, and I get a reset. So if anyone wants to get educated, there's plenty of experts in these spaces. I've actually partnered with Marshall Falk in a business to help people with this type of financial literacy, also identifying their timing and risk tolerance. So like anyone, you guys can reach out to me, david@dmeltzer.com. I already gave you my cell phone as well. You can email me. I got books, guides, exercises, all for free on this type of stuff, and I'd be more than happy to help you. Hala, thanks. That's a really common and great question. So hopefully I answered your question.
Your email?
David,
can you repeat your email?
Yeah, it's in my bio too, but it's david@dmeltzer.com. David@dmeltzer.com. I'm more than happy to sign my book, send them to you, pay for shipping, exercises, guides. All of my replays are on the playbook, my podcast too. So let's bring up Devin McIntyre while I read off this question, because I really like it. How do you recognize value in everything that you see? because I seek the light, the love, and the lessons in everything I see. I'm on a journey to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential by learning to love everything that I do. If I can't learn to love something, if I stay consistent and persistent in something to try to learn to love it, to find the value, the light, the love in it, and I can't, then I don't seek it anymore. That's the only time that I decide in the variance of what I call the great chain of feeding. If I cannot, within the capabilities I have, recognize value, find light, love, and lessons, learn to do or learn to love what I do, then I'm going to go ahead and let it fall away or fire it from my life. And I think everybody understanding you have to feed what feeds you. And if it bleeds you, allow it to fall away. Or if it bleeds you too much, fire it from your life. There's plenty of things that you are capable of recognizing value, finding light, love, and lessons, or learning to love something that you may counterintuitively feel that you even would like to do. And I've done that with the trash. I love to take out the trash. Why? Because I've learned to love to take it out because it gives me a period of time to pursue what makes me happy, to think of it as extra time to meditate. And so now I look for opportunities to take the trash out, including my energy shifting, where my kids who thought trash was kryptonite now actually offer to take the trash off because my energy have shifted as well. All right, let's take our next question from Devin McIntyre.
Jake and David, thank you guys for doing this. Really appreciate it. So over the summer in August, you presented at the Shadow Venture Summit, which I was part of. Really cool to see you there. But one thing you kind of touched on was how you just kind of went through your entire journey and you weren't entirely sure when it was time to pivot at all times. So as a college grad, recent grad, just graduated in spring, I'm now working at a startup in New York, loving it. We've got a ton of great traction. But I just kind of want to hear from you as someone who's like gone through kind of like the unknown. You've done your own businesses, you started your own thing. When did you realize it was time to pivot and maybe start something else or maybe go out on your own and have your own type of venture?
Great question. So one thing, because money was one of my objectives, especially early in my career, I kept my options open. So because I knew my what, my personal values, experiential values, giving and receiving values were monetarily based. Based on a currency called money, an object of energy that you put into the flow to get what you want. My firm belief that money bought happiness and love. I kept my options open, aligned with subconsciously mainly my timing and risk tolerance. But there's two things to look at looking back with the knowledge that I have now as an old middle-aged man. And that is that what I teach people is why not focus in on the two things that enable you to take on as much as you can, whether it's one, two, three, or four, or five ventures. And that is, can I get so good at what I'm doing? Or can I look and find another opportunity that gives me more money and more time? The more money you have and the more time that you have, the more options you have and the more capabilities you have in order to effectuate pivoting. Which is really a transformation. We're always pivoting as long as we're learning. We're always pivoting if we stay in the learning zone. You're not going to pivot if you stay in the comfort zone. If you don't get better at what you're doing and you're comfortable where you're at and you go through the motions every day like a tube. You know, so many people live their lives as a tube. They're just interested in putting food in the tube and shooting it out the other end of the tube. That's not how I want to live my life. I want to live my life in the learning zone where there's a ton of pain, not too much pain that's going to put me into the anxiety zone and constrict what I can do and lose the inspiration that I have. But more importantly, live in this learning zone where I'm consistently making mistakes, learning from it, growing, accelerating, compounding the interest with more opportunities and more options by creating more time and more money in my life, making that investment. There are no sacrifices in my life. There's only investment in myself. The word sacrifice, the word work, the word busy, they all just drive me nuts because I believe there's just activity I get paid for, activity I don't get paid for. Busy is not in my vocabulary. I am active. I am active. Busy people are not accessible. I'm not only productive and active, I am accessible to others. So there's no busy in me. People that are busy are usually high, sick, and broke on their parents' couch doing nothing. And so I want you to look at your capabilities and drive home, get better at what you're doing, make the investment in yourself to whatever your timing and risk tolerance is, and continue to grow and learn. But most importantly, you stay in that learning zone. Be aware of when you push yourself too hard into an anxiety zone. zone. But if you stay in that learning zone by making mistakes, learning from it and asking for help, you'll have so many different options and you'll continually to choose and pivot and aggregate more and more opportunities for yourself. Does that sound fair?
Love that. Always going to be looking for opportunities. Appreciate it.
And thank you so much, Devin. All right, I'm going to take my last question here in Clubhouse. Judy Lee, come up while I answer a quick one online as well. I get more messages on social media than I can answer. How to handle that? First of all, congratulations. That's a beautiful place to be. You are inspiring and influencing others. You are compounding your own interest. Now, what you need to do is create systems. And I talked about it in the training, and these systems can be more efficient, cryptic ways, templated ways of answering people, utilizing team members, AI, a variety of ways determinative upon the platform to make sure that you're moving people and answering them in an effective way. I answer everything myself. I use cryptic, I use templates, I use all types of team members in order to help me effectuate that as well. But I'm overseeing everything or implementing it myself or directly answering myself. You just need to find the systems and the help that you need, but you need to be personally involved in all of the different platforms. And congratulations if you're getting more messages than you can answer. That's a great sign you're on the right track. All right, we're going to take the last question here from Judy Lee. We got 2 minutes, and then I got to go give Tio his most valuable philanthropist award at the Super Bowl, but virtually, of course. Go ahead, Judy.
Thank you so much for doing this. So a quick story about me is right now I'm motivated by a cause to help out teachers. So I'm using my platform to donate to teachers every month, but I can't reach out to all the teachers because there's too many requests. And my question to you is right now I'm in the process of pitching to brands and people like yourself to help me donate to teachers because I can't handle all these requests. What is the best way for me to grab an attention from brands and you who are just inundated with all these messages and DMs constantly?
Question. Because of social networking and social media, we can find spheres of influence. So instead of going directly to decision makers, look for sponsors and power sponsors that you can empower to help tell the story, give you the credibility, the emotional attachment, which should be easy in this case, and then allow you to have the opportunity to articulate the quantitative value higher or more than what you're asking for. And so because there's such large organizations that are hit up so many times, so many people try to go directly to the decision maker who create themselves with a closed mind and unavailable. And as I indicated earlier, it takes as much energy to convince a person like that as 1,000 people with an open mind. So instead of going directly to them, if you can empower a sponsor or a power sponsor and create spheres of influence in an internal community that will be supportive of you by asking them how you can help them, but more importantly, do they know anyone that can help you? You will create a team and energy and a collective consciousness that will give you far more efficiency and statistical success in what you're doing. Once again, I have exercises and guides on that. Reach out to me. I'll give you the 5 to Thrive system that directly helps with that. Everyone out there, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. You can join my text community, 949-298-2905. Download the playbook for all the replays of trainings. It's free. Download it. It's featured on Spotify, Entrepreneur, all of the different platforms. Next week's training, join me, is Ask and Attract. Don't forget, get your free books, guys. Check out 2 Minute Drill tonight on Bloomberg Television, on Amazon. You're going to love it. I can't wait to see everyone. Join me on the Breakfast of Champions every Friday as well, 6 a.m. Pacific time on Clubhouse. Remember, everybody, be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Thanks so much. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode in any way or found any value, screenshot it, share it, however you like. My only ask is you help me empower others to be happy.